waters much blacker than night are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined by co-hosts Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Oh, good evening, brothers. How are you this evening? I'm doing good myself.
I'm doing well, too. I'm just glad this season is over.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
I couldn't agree more. It was a very very telling season for me. I was able to see how much the Christmas surrounded people. And all of the scriptures that were I read over and over through the graven images of Christmas on the threshing floor, you could just see the people under the deception of that whole event.
Absolutely. Actually, New Year's is another one. Did you see this big New Year's thing in Dubai they had on TV where the whole building lights up and twists around and...
No.
Yeah, I have, you know, it's been a while since I've studied New Year's, so I'm not up on all the facts, but it's a big pagan celebration also. It's a big Satan worship.
Well, after Tavistock, an audience, please, our show that came out on Tavistock, that was some, I would say, that material, when you look at it in fleshly understanding, is part of the great falling away, the deception. I've never seen more darker type of intent. That was pretty evil.
Absolutely.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so these connections with the restrainer being lifted, it's just so clearly that's what's underway. Since this period of time, 47, 48, I mean, there's just no way that wasn't a very big, what do they call that, a watermark or a, what's the word you use for a whatever, you know what I mean. But there was just a real significant shift at that time. And
you know, it was a shift,
this,
right,
this,
yeah.
Things running its course now, And it's this Tavistock, you know, how many people think that, well, we were all taught in school that the Nazis were, you know, under such extreme propaganda, and had no idea that this stuff never stopped. It just got more intense.
It just got more intense.
Refined. I got to say, like this weekend, I was at a friend's, you know, and just watching the TV. I haven't been around TV for a while, and just the commercials just bombarding you like a machine gun. This, you know, the programming is just so, I don't know what to say. It's just mindless, you know. It's just mindless. I just can't get over it. But yeah, it's a real significant piece of the puzzle here for where we are today and how Satan has achieved his goals. You know, that Tavistock was certainly a big part of it.
I'm sure that the Gates Foundation and Monsanto are tied into those people also.
Oh, yeah, they're all hooked together.
I did see a terrible thing about the Indian farmers.
Yeah.
I mean, suicide, low crop yields. They sent the carpetbaggers in to sign contracts. The farmers didn't know that the contracts entailed them purchasing extra pesticides. The pesticides then eradicated the natural crops. These were, you know, devastating.
Right, it's a killing of the multitude.
It's killing, yes.
That's the killing of the multitude, sure it is. You better believe it is.
They're not Christians, I don't know, but it is such an un-Christian act. It's such an ungodly act to prey upon the poor and the suffering. It's wicked.
It's very wicked. Absolutely very, very wicked.
Wow.
You know, I didn't... I was searching wicked, and I've got a definition for it. But I just couldn't believe the wickedness of that story. When you drill down on wicked, and that's found only in the New Testament, which is interesting.
I thought it was in Jeremiah 31, but maybe I'm mistaken. Was it man's heart is deceitfully wicked, and who could know it?
Well, right now I've got it up, and I've got the 71 verses, and hold on, I could be my... No.
Okay.
There's 71 verses in the entire Bible of wicked at this particular word. And the meaning of the word is a derivative from 41. It might be the derivative, Bill.
Okay. That's probably what it is.
I'll check that'd
be Hebrew in the Old Testament.
It's hurtful, that is evil, properly in effect or influence, and thus differing from G2556, which refers rather to essential character, as well as from G4550, which indicates degeneracy, religion, church, figuratively, calamitous, passively ill, that is, diseased. These people are diseased.
Diseased, boy, there's a... They're going to cure the diseases for you.
Yes.
That's a fine pair, huh?
It's all bad from here. It's especially morally culpable, so they're going to be judged culpable. That is, derelict, vicious, bisnorvious, neuter, singular, mischief, malice, guilt, masculine, singular, the devil, or plural, sinners, bad, evil, grievous, harm, lewd, malicious, wicked. Also see 4191. Now that's pretty, that's your enemy, audience. That's the wicked. And there's no mingling with the wicked. Anybody disagree?
No, there sure isn't any mingling. But
no.
Boy, that's the problem. That's where we are today.
And the problem in the flesh is, how can you forgive these men fleshly? How can you forgive them? Forgive them, they know not what they do. Look at their sentence.
Yeah.
They're culpable, they're derelict, they're guilt, and they're of the devil.
Yeah, the devil is the father of lies. And the whole world lying. So I guess the devil's the father of the world. And it says, ye are of God, so that means you're not of the world. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. So the devil is the father of the world.
And Chris, you were talking about your Devil TV deal. Audience, you need to be aware. It used to be there was in a show, there would be a white hat and a black hat. Okay? Now, everything you watch... there is no good guys. There's no one to watch that's the good guy. They're all the bad guys. Has anybody noticed that?
Yeah, it's not as... I noticed this in the past, too, but it's obviously way more today. It's more blatant today. you know, they used to have it with shows like The Untouchables back in the 50s, that these were saintly men and they couldn't be bribed. And then it was they were against the evil mobsters. When, you know, actually both sides were evil. But yes, now it's even way, way more blatant, especially in these cop shows and stuff.
I'm talking about the cooking shows.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me that. That's right. Cooking shows. It's pretty bad when it gets down to that, huh?
Well, when you observe and you go in and you're just in that right frame of mind to notice that, boy, both those people are evil. And it's only it's a baking show, and the woman has no virtue. She has no. She's like Mrs. Kravitz, the nosy gossip. Everything you're not supposed to do in Scripture is this the epitome of this woman, and the man is much worse.
Well, I can remember back in the old days watching Pasquale's cooking show. You know, it was just very quiet. He was he had a good show. You know, as far as just you know, I watched it for several years. And I look at a cooking show today, and I go, well, you know, is this for a four-year-old, or what is it for? I mean, the maturity level, I mean, I don't think somebody 40 years ago would even watch anything that's on TV today.
Oh, it's spiritually, down. Yeah.
Spiritually, these people are just plain evil.
They're evil, right.
And so who are, if you're trying to catch any show, and all of a sudden you're looking at this show and you don't have a discernment on it, you don't have dominion over what's going on in the world.
Yeah, it used to be Jerry Springer. Now it's Jerry Springer and the cooking shows, huh?
That's you've just hit the nail on the head, Bill. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly the transformation that I saw. You could equate to that on a baking show.
Wow.
Audience, that is your indication that things are not very good in the land. It's not a very good thing that everything you watch has two evil characters and you're supposed to think them to be good.
Well, yeah, at least one of them, yeah.
There used to
Plus,
be.
I just, I'm seeing so much more just continuous man-praising on TV. Whether it be the news, whether it be the commercials, whether it be the shows themselves. Just enormous amounts of man-praising. And obviously the sexual content and all the sexual remarks and stuff are I just find them very distasteful.
It's all bad. Chris, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I'm just and then the biggest thing is the attack on the man, the father.
Oh yes,
done that
right.
So maliciously. And I'm so aware of it now. Yeah, I'm so frustrated.
You know when that first one happened? The first one I can tell you with it, and he was like a big liberal that played the part that Carol, I think his name was Carol O'Connor. What was that show?
All in the Family.
Yeah, All in the Family with that.
Meathead.
And that was one of the first ones. Maybe it was the first one. It could have been the first one, actually.
Oh, absolutely. That was a major shift in mind control there.
Right.
With that.
The television is the weapon of mass delusion.
It is.
Oh, I
so, you know, by the time I woke up to it, it was too late for me and far as how I let it get to me, because I became the guy that, I was told to be. I mean, I didn't realize it was happening to me by the time I woke up to it. But, the Everybody Loves Raymond and the Al Bundy, moron sitting
right,
there.
Right, they're just morons, right.
The controlling, woman figure in the TV show.
There's your Jezebel spirit
it's
there.
It's so sad, But, hey, I'm just, it's something I'm just really, making it a burden to, I've got a burden for this, and I'm going to, probably devote some times for the duration here to, help wake men up to the what's been done to them. It's just really it's really sad. But this is it. I mean, it's a matriarchal takeover. We've got these figures. Oh my gosh, that's something I saw this week. Oprah. Oprah's got her own cable station now. Wonderful. So this is all this stuff's just coming in for the home stretch now. And can you just imagine the programming on that cable network? Oh, my gosh. They'd have to tie me up to a chair to make me sit and watch it, you know. And
I know. It is enough to make you throw up.
Oh, my gosh. It's just so, so unbelievable.
And their answer to anything is some organization, some man, some codependency thing. You know, the answer to every single thing on Oprah is flesh.
Yeah.
That's the solution to everything, is flesh.
Yeah, that's the error with everything, is the flesh. That's certainly what we teach on Watchman Weekly, is that, you know, we point you to the spiritual solutions, folks, because that's where the truth is, you know, standing in the truth against all these matters. And that's what I said to the guys tonight in the pre-show. I said, all we got to do tonight is just say, abide in Christ. Abide in the truth. It's really all you need to know. It's all you need to know, folks. Out of all
praise the Lord
that we're exposing and dissecting and what have you. But if you stand in the truth, stand in Christ, abide in Christ, and don't budge. You know, that's the answer. It's that simple. And, you know, His protection is there in the wilderness, which is, the wilderness is a spiritual place, and it's standing in the truth and longing for the truth and having a passion for the truth. That you know, that basically you know, steers your life, steers the direction of your life, because that's what matters. That's where God's safety is.
Speaking of your life, you said you might like to touch a little bit on your testimony this evening.
Yeah, I've had a Cindy from the Fence Along the River group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got this little Facebook thing going on. I've actually been having a lot of fun on Facebook.
Good.
It's, you know, it's pretty easy. If there's something offensive, you just delete it. So, you know, I go through it once in a while and make sure, because my kids are on there, and, you know, I've got, you know, some friends from school, and, you know, somebody, you know, in particular that we've just been having a lot of fun dialoguing back and forth, and it's just been neat. So I'm so far so good with it. You know, I know Randy's had some, times on Facebook, and I suppose it's coming, but I'm just keeping it, you know, as light as I can for now. But just there's some, you know, neat people. A lot of, you know, people from the show. There's a guy named Dan on there that listens to the shows, and it was a huge encouragement with his posts. And you know, you can just tell he's a supporter. But Cindy asked me about if I had my testimony anywhere, and I thought, you know, I probably could do that. So, yeah, why don't I just got to, before we get into it, I was just going to say one more thing, too, about a couple points before I jump into my testimony.
Sure.
Just about this Leviathan oil find. Why are you laughing?
Well, I just wonder, you know, where they come up with the names for this stuff.
But that oil discovery off the coast of Israel, they call it the Leviathan, for goodness sakes.
It's natural gas, buddy.
Yeah.
Natural gas, right? And it comes up out of the sea.
And that's what Leviathan is. Leviathan is a metaphor for the beast out of the sea.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Don't know what Leviathan is. So where did they get this word? My claim is that Satan knows his Bible better than Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like he's marking his turf, like you said, Bill.
He's marking his turf, exactly.
Yeah, there's definitely.
He's now marking his turf.
And it's so remarkable is this thing's 80 miles offshore of Haifa, where that where the Mount Carmel fires were
Mount
last
Carmel.
Month.
Wow, yeah.
You know, these are signatures from the Lord, no doubt, you know.
Isn't the Gulf of Mexico oil rig supposedly 80 miles offshore?
It could be.
I'd like to check that sometime.
Yeah, I don't know for if could very well be.
It's just a number that popped into my head.
You're talking about this BP one that was...
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It seems to be, yeah, I'm recalling something like that.
80 miles offshore, so what would the 80 miles have meaning there? I'd have to think about that.
I don't know, but just the Leviathan, that's definitely a signature there.
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder where Behemoth is going to show up.
Oh, well, he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, that could very well be the... I wouldn't be surprised if the Christian Right calls their next movement the Behemoth movement.
Yeah, if you go read some of the Bible commentaries about Leviathan and Hemeth, these are supposedly, you know, learned scholars, Matthew Henry and Barnes and all these people.
Yeah.
You go read some of this stuff about Behemoth and Lion, it'll make you laugh.
Yeah, it's just not given to them to understand, Bill, you know that.
Yeah.
So I told you, it's like trying to listen to a radio station without a radio.
Yeah.
If the Lord doesn't reveal it to you, it's just hopeless, you know. You just have to have your heart right and want that truth, you know. That's why I push that so hard every week, that longing for the truth, willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Because when you have that attitude, the Lord honors it. You know, He does reveal Himself to you, you know.
Praise the Lord. Absolutely, He will. I mean, there's no way, I could have ever learned any of this on my own. It's absolutely impossible. And the Lord will show it to any. Praise the Lord will show it to anybody if you just come to Him in full sincerity and open your heart and invite Him in. He will show you these things.
Audience, you will have a love of the truth. You will have a love of the truth that you'll never turn back.
Yeah, there's no other place to go.
You know, it is the narrow gate. There is study in this. But we've seen remarkable cases of, proper renderings that the person is then teaching us.
Yes.
Where we're sitting here in in all humbleness and sobriety, in terms of these are sober things when you don't stress the flesh. When we try and present why these things are happening, why this movement proves that the dominion is now on the inhabitants of the earth, and that the church construct, the Christian church, is to be judged first. Therein lies all of your metaphoric understanding, so that you understand, the why you come out of the church, because the church is likened unto the false prophet. And when you come out of that union and the Tazak style, you could call it delusion. You come into the wilderness and you please sit down at the camp. There's light here. And we hope that you recognize that these fleshly understandings that we're digging through are a guide, so that you can cleanse your mind. You can repent. You can change how you look at things, and be able to pick up a shovel and a sword and come camp with us. Bring your rod and your staffs. On our website, we have multiple links to understand fleshly understanding, but more importantly, to study yourself through, so that you're not double-minded about this. Christmas was a single-minded effort to get through what we saw is a worship of idols. And we pray that these shows and the material that we make available to you will be used to edify yourselves, so you can teach us. Anyone like to add to that?
Yeah, we can always use more teachers. I mean, we get, every time someone comes into the group, they just start seeing things too and bringing, stuff. The Lord shows them different things, and, it's still, all in the same gospel, but that's what I'm really seeing is, each individual is just, seeing things, and then we can come together and put them together, and it comes into a perfect oneness because the Holy Spirit's behind all of it.
Yeah.
And audience, I'm going to recount some scripture for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, so that you can review this. And you'll see there's a transition when you understand the spiritual truths, the proper rendering of the gospel, proper rendering of the metaphors and analogies that have been opened up for us. And wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, audience, this heaviness, this, when you realize the truth of Scripture, and you think of the church as children that are unprepared for life, you will have a heaviness that you will not believe. You will see idol worship. You will see sentences at throne judgments that are likened unto the worst thing you've ever seen, and you will have a heavy heart. But having not seen, ye love, in whom thou now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy and unspeakable and full of glory. After this fleshly understanding is done and the heaviness passes, you understand the fleshly applications, but you understand the spiritual truths, you will recognize the Holy Spirit in this. Does anybody want to add to that?
That's right. The Holy Spirit is the one that does it all. All you have to do is just give yourself over to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to come in.
And audience, we're going over current events. We're going over Leviathan. We're going over fifth trumpet pit opening up in the Gulf of Mexico. We were not able to reflect back to you, audience, that, well, this could be this and this could be that, because it's ongoing real time. So our studies are geared towards new and old audience members who are in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and trying to edify with the Scripture, and for our new audience members the calf and the stall, the milk of Scripture. They recognize these things and are able to use all of our resources to study.
And it can sound overwhelming, too. And it doesn't, you know, just even getting on milk to start with and start learning the milk of Scripture, you can still abide in Christ. You know, the abiding starts right there.
You know, the big thing is about that is this is the real key, folks, is that... you know, we're going to go into it tonight, because tonight with our Pale Horse study, you know, we're going to take a look at the Billy Graham factor, you know, who was, you know, put into power by Randolph Hearst and all the agenda that was behind that. And, you know, what we've seen is a real corruption of the gospel message itself. And the fact is that, you know, Jesus said to the woman at the well, go and sin no more. I mean, you hear that over and over here at this show. And Jesus did not say, go and now start your recovery program of,
that's right,
know, of going to church every time the doors are open so that you can be a part of every DVD study series that helps you, you know, get the tools to live with your, you know, flesh. And that's what's going on today, you know. There's no victory over sin, Todd.
No, they're practicing religion.
Yeah, they're practicing religion.
And practice is not in the KJV. You won't find the word. What you find in the KJV is doeth. Now, the newer Bibles have taken doeth and changed the word to practice.
Yeah, see?
And that's what they're all doing, is practicing religion.
Because we got to realize the gospel message has been corrupted. And this sugar-coated... you know, my God, not my God. My God would never judge anybody. You know, that mentality is just wrong. It's not the gospel. You know, the gospel, we're called to losing our lives. We must lose our lives for Jesus' sake and pick up our cross. And I was reading something today. I think it was that awesome prophetic word that Pete had on his website from that old-timer from,
oh,
like 1965.
That,
oh, gosh.
Was,
I mean...
That was amazing.
It's on the it's on Pete's Truth in Scripture website. It's like the, it'll be about the second one now because he's posted something else since, which is another awesome.
I highly recommend looking at both of those. They just were put up in the last few days.
But the, this ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, this is the snare that is in the church, and I'm absolutely convinced that this is something that God did. Well, it says it. It says in Jeremiah 50, "I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon." And God lays these snares. He is catching the these snares are his mechanism for separation, because his people don't get caught in a snare. And I see this whole progression since 47, 48. Not to say that stuff wasn't happening before that, because 1947, 48, by the time this stuff came along that we're exposing with this pale horse study, the groundwork was laid. The other three horses had already done the preliminary with
right.
the deception. And this is what the pale horse is building on now. And, with the corruption of the Bibles and everything else that we've gone into weeks after weeks here. But, we're seeing this culmination of this now, in that, the word has been diminished, and the theme of this thing tonight will be the way on the communist agenda was to, one of the bullet points was to infiltrate the churches and to transform them from a revelatory religion to a social religion. This is what's happened. And the social dimension is the primary focus now in the churches. And it's the hive. They will be of one mind, it says in Scripture.
Sigmund Freud churches now.
We have Sigmund Freud churches. You betcha. And that all comes out of Tavistock. And that's what, Tavistock said was the power of religion had been broken. We said that last week. This was a very malicious, calculated plan that has happened. And we also see that the New Age movement, we think of the hippies and the beads and the tie-dye shirts in the 70s or in the 60s. Well, that whole thing, which was all brought about by Tavistock with the rock music and the Hindu New Age messages underlying all these songs. Like one thing I forgot to mention last week, you see the cover of last week's show is the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. But the how many times have we heard the song Imagine by John Lennon? I've probably heard it, probably 7,000 times in my life. Every doctor's office, it's just everywhere, all constantly. That's the New World Order. That song is about the New World Order. It's Imagine There's No Countries, Imagine There's No Heaven, No Hell Below Us. I mean, it's absurd. This is the stuff that's been bombarded.
You know what about those Beatles in that situation? Is they presented them differently the first 3 years. They came out there, they wore suits.
Oh, yeah.
They had kind of a new style of music.
Sure they did.
But it was, that was setting the hook for the shift when they made the shift in 1965.
Wow.
So they had the hook set then.
Yep.
They fit the parameters needed to propagate their fleshly deception.
Yeah.
And it worked. And it worked. And then so significant there, too, is the fact that on the Internet, the MP3 download music, they kept that under wrap just up until like last year. I think right after Michael Jackson died, because he had the rights to it. Mm-hmm. And they released those rights. And I thought to myself, well, okay, there we go now. This whole generation now is going to be, controlled by the same message that we were, and I really believe it's the end game.
Well, I just want the audience to know what we're trying to frame for you, audience. The picture we're trying to paint is the sound doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, and giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils." And we're trying to convey to you, audience, at this flesh level, that's already passed. It's in hyperdrive. It's going 150 in a 55-mile zone.
Oh, boy.
Now, in 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And what we're trying to convey to you, audiences, the third-day studies, the thorough studying of listening to the shows with the show notes, scripture upon scripture, will give you the proper rendering of scripture in terms of what it's meant for the followers of Jesus Christ to the narrow gate. And when we go back to what we just went over, when it's heavy-hearted, when you look for this truth and you follow the Lamb wherever you go. And it's not, we're the Joe Lunchbox crew. We are not biblical scholars. But these renderings and the proper understanding and the study of yourself approved will give you an idea of how you are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not the flesh in the world. Would anybody like to add to that?
Seducing spirits, yeah. That's, boy, I mean, that's a big one, seducing spirits.
Yeah, like that word of, that prophetic word that Pete had on his website. Well, that's what that guy was all about, and I see it, you know. These men will come in and they'll preach script, you know, they'll preach proper doctrine. You know, we're just so it's not like we're encouraged. It's like we're there's just no other way around it but to check everything against scripture to see if it was so, like the Bereans did, because this craziness that's going on today out there with all these just lunatic doctrines that are flying around, you know, people just following these leaders with these signs and wonders and these cockamamie prophetic words that comes off of like the Elijah listers and those guys. It's just mumbo jumbo after mumbo jumbo.
How they get away from this, they get away with it just because they're, you know, like a confidence man. You know, a confidence man, he gains confidence in you, and then you never go back to check to see, right. He was right in the past, and he had that right, so they gain your confidence.
Hey, Bill. What were we talking about on email earlier this evening? He will, with flatteries, right?
Flatteries. Right. It's huge, flatteries.
I mean, that's the
best word. You said it. That's the best word to describe the church is flatteries. Because that's what they want to be. That way they want to hear flatteries.
Yeah. And this is the thing, that the teaching that the coming Antichrist, you know, that's going to rule from the temple, and he's going to control the world with flatteries. Well, he already does control the temple with flatteries.
He's seated in the temple.
He's seated in the temple right now. These are it's the man. The man is a collective man, and it's the whole false prophet collective that is controlling
this
apostate church today.
It's man possessed by lawlessness.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's man possessed by lawlessness.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the law, and the opposite of Jesus Christ is lawlessness.
But these smooth sayings that these pastors, you know, keep the people coming back week after week, you know, and it is. It's just the word. That's what I wrote you guys, right? I said,
yes,
it's the best word. If I were going to describe the church today with one word, it would
be
flatteries.
Only use one word, right? Flatteries. Yeah. I think that probably is the best word.
And you know, here we are, and this is all happening in real time, folks. I just can't imagine, you know, just, you know, all the twisted. Well,
they used to call that years ago, buttering you up or something.
Yeah.
Well, they're buttering you up for Psalms 35:20, where they seek not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against, and this is in italics, them that are quiet in the land. And the people that are quiet, that's you, audience. Restful. You're resting in our Lord Jesus Christ in his Sabbath rest.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is peaceful, that are quiet. And out there in the world is absolute wickedness. every turn you go, you will witness this yourself. Now, tonight we're going to have Brother Chris is a true witness to this understanding of the fleshly, having had his experience in his life. If you listen very carefully, you will find the transition, and you will find the standing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Chris?
Yeah, well, I'll, you know, my story as a servant of the Lord starts in the early 80s when I was, my early 20s, just come to the point where I'd realized that no matter what, pretty much, you know, I was basically happy. I mean, one of the sayings I used to say, you know, getting saved ruined my life. But, you know, I say that with tongue in cheek because my life was actually fine. I actually had it made. I was doing pretty well and all that stuff. But, you know, there was just always that nag in my heart, that hole in my heart that was just there. Probably having, you know, some taste of success and all that early on and still having that nagging feeling, I knew something was still wrong. So that's probably one of the big things that brought me to the point of surrender. But, you know, I had a good friend that got saved a couple years before, and he just had a burden for me that, and to this day, has had a burden for me to pray for me. And you know, I just I know it was for. I look back and I think about it being for a time like today that he was, you know, the Lord had given him a burden, and I'm thankful for him. It's my, you know, good friend Kip. But anyway, he had me over for dinner, and it was just all right. He had it all prayed up, and they told me that narrow is the gate that leads to light, and few find it. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. That's the scripture that the Lord used to get me. You know, people say, you know, our God is, you know, you're drawn to repentance by God's loving kindness. And yes, that works for some people. It's for some people. It says in Titus, doesn't it? Some are, you know, plucked from the fire by fear or whatever. But you know, in fear. You know, Noah built an ark to save his family. I mean, I was saved by fear. I was afraid of hell, and I didn't want to go there. So I basically knew clearly that night that this is the difference between, you know, those people that are Christians and the rest of the world. So, you know, I woke up the next day, and I was, you know, the Holy Spirit visited me for sure, and I my whole life changed, you know, at that point. But, whatever, a year or so into it, you know, started mingling. I just, got started off with John MacArthur. I loved him. I listened to his tapes over and over again. He fed me. He was a powerful preacher in the day. You know, he's, a pre-apostate John MacArthur was a very powerful speaker, and I owe a lot to him. But I was actually at his church in California. That's where I was at the time. I was on the West Coast. And, grew. The church was the church. His church was functioning. It was a good church. I got into the singles group there and was fed, and there was good Bible studies, and I grew. I was learning, getting that word hidden in my heart, you know. And then, you know, just a couple years, you know, years went by, and I just got complacent, started mingling, and actually, you know, picked up my drinking again. I had taken the Lord had taken that away from me right when I got saved, and started getting on the sauce again, and it basically ran its course and took over. And, 8 years into my salvation, I had fallen completely away from the Lord. And, had some trouble. I got in a real bad accident. That didn't sober me up. And then a couple DUIs in a row, and I knew it was time. I just knew that it really got down to if I was going to lose my driver's license for a long time or if I was going to get treatment. So I went into an alcohol rehab center and sobered up. And after a little time after that, I can remember just simply making a decision one night. I knew that I needed to get into Christian fellowship, and I wanted to go do something else. I wanted, my background was racing. I've always been a gearhead, and I wanted to go to the races, you know. But then I also was invited to a party. And I knew that if I was going to get back with the Lord, I needed to get into fellowship. So I went to this party, made that decision, you know, and really God honored that decision. It was another turning point for me in that my eyes were opened again. I had a like a second born again experience. And that was in the night, you know, this is like the late 80s, you know, and then just was restored. Good fellowship again, got plugged into a good church, good Bible studies, good men's, you know, singles group, the good group of guys, good friends. Really grew, just grew. Solid teaching. And here we go. You know, then I met my wife, got married, started off strong, you know, young couple Bible studies. And at the same time, you know, I'm still struggling with the flesh and with the my quest for success and making money and the things that the world tells me to do. And here we're in the early 90s here, and what's coming into the church is this seeker material. This Bill Hybels, Willow Creek material started coming in, and the psychology books started coming in, and I was drawn to it. You know, it was interesting material. The family systems and the self-help dysfunctional family things, all that stuff fascinated me, and I really got into it. And grew from it. I actually probably did grow from it to a point, but it became, we've been over and over again, where that ended up. But I was right in the middle of all this, in this big church system, a big part of it. You know, my family, we were just pillars in the church. You know, the big church started a church plant in another city. And my wife and I got involved with that. It was a city we wanted to eventually move to, we thought. Did all the right stuff, did all the right church stuff. But all the time, we're just, our marriage was just, not what it was supposed to be. I was just obsessed with success and honestly trying to please her. You know, that's what my motivation was. And it was just, I was everybody's loves Raymond. And she was, I just had it all wrong. You know, I just wasn't, at this time, the attack was coming in, and I wasn't the spiritual leader I was called to be. And I thought I was, and I was always, pushing the family to get up and go to church, all that stuff. But just had it twisted, just the stuff I've woken up to now, but it happened. But, as we went along, came to the point where, no matter what I did, I just was not, getting the approval that I was craving from her. And, this was all happening along the same time. This is, coming up to, this was the course, kids, I've got a 15-year-old daughter, my eldest daughter, the time when kids come along and it's just, all you're doing is just, taking care of the kids and making sure, all their needs are met. And it's just consuming, and just always waiting for the time when, they were older, that we could, buckle down on our marriage and all that stuff. But it just, it wasn't to be. But anyway, the, my business was part of my idol. My business and my, striving for my wife's approval was really my idol. That just, was a big part of my testimony. And I'll pick up on it in a little bit. But, we're coming up to the time when, it was actually, I remember the earmark was the elections in 2008, and up to that point, right before that, I was involved in the men's group at my Seeker Church, and really involved. I was co-leading with another guy, and I had a real heart, and I was just trying. I'll tell you what I was doing. I was just trying to get things back to the way they were at that church that I went to when I first, got back with the Lord. This good, because I knew what it was like. I knew what real fellowship was like, and it just was gone. I don't know how many times I was shushed for saying something that I shouldn't say because there's a new guy over there, kind of things like that all the time. And it was that men's group that we ended up going to a Promise Keepers event in Cleveland, and it spoke to me. I was really starting to wake up. This is probably one of the first things that happened that really got me really thinking something was wrong. Because I remember in this auditorium, all the men in this auditorium, we took a survey with our cell phones. It was a candid survey. And how many men looked at something questionable on the internet that week? It was like 70% of the crowd there, you know. And I just said, and I admit I was one of them, you know. And I'm just thinking, man, this is just not right. I always knew something was wrong with this picture. I knew Jesus was coming back for a spotless bride, but what was going to happen to transform this church that just wasn't spotless by any means? Because I knew, the things that were going on, and I just knew something was wrong, and I just couldn't quite figure it out. But anyway, that was a part of it. And then I ended up in the hospital. I had a blood clot that almost killed me. And I ended up spending a couple weeks in the hospital with that. It was part of stress from my business and all this stuff. And I just remember my marriage then was just, my wife was mad at me for being in the hospital. It was just really just bad. It was just bad, just a bad deal. Everything was all twisted around. But these were all steps that the Lord was using in my life to bring, draw me to himself, It was actually the 2008 election. I remember when Obama got in. I came out that morning and checked the internet. I knew he'd got in, and I just saw he had won. And I just hung my head there right at that time, and I just prayed to the Lord that whatever now, Lord. I knew we were in for some dramatic changes, and that was when I was still rooting for, the Christian right, having no idea of the corruption there. But this was just my attitude at the time. I asked the Lord, just show me the attitude I'm supposed to have, Lord, whatever it is. And I really prayed that prayer with a surrender that I hadn't had in a long time. And around the same time too, I'm in my men's group at church, and just heard the Lord say, if you're going to get this thing going, you're going to have to do it yourself. I mean, you're going to have to make the first move. So it was this one night, we're probably in there reading the Promise Keepers study guide or whatever. Reading the text, answering the questions, da da da. Everybody's just waiting to get over with it so they can get back to talking about hunting or cars or whatever. It's just I couldn't take it anymore because I knew what it was. I was around when the church was the church. I really just wanted it back. I just wanted it back. And so I stood up and I just confessed my sin before the men there that night. And we prayed and got a little bit of dialogue going with some of the other men, but. I left a heavy load there that night, and it was like the day or two after that, I can remember just having a clarity in my ear that I hadn't had for years, and I had just definitely the Lord just definitely and I tell you, I think that night was the night when everything really started changing for me, because I got right with the Lord, I just got right with the Lord that night, and just from that point on, we're coming into like 2009. January 2009, I remember my friend sent me an email, and it was an Alex Jones movie, The Endgame. I watched that, and I went, whoa, what is this? And it caused me some questioning, and then with the YouTube video, and then the links that were associated with that thing. And it was my first exposure. I had known about the Trilateral Commission and that the government was questionable, but I didn't care. I was just busy living my life, just wanted my life. I remember somebody had sent me a video a couple years earlier, one of my good friends, about the hole in the Pentagon. No way a plane could have made that hole, and I said, oh, okay, whatever. It didn't affect me. It didn't get my attention. I just didn't care because I was just busy with my life, And I know that today it helps me identify with what we're up against with the multitude who are still, just too busy with their lives to look, deeper into things, but whatever, this was the start of it, and just starting to wake up. This is when I'm starting to wake up, and then it was my wife's birthday, the end of January, and I just knew my marriage needed work. I was really getting the messages, and I really needed to buckle down. I took her to a bed and breakfast, and we had a really nice time. It was a special time, and just thought it was a start of a new thing. But at the same time, this stuff, this awakening is happening, and I'm. And at the same time, my business is not doing very well with the economy. Because you remember during the election, right before the election was when they pushed through that TARP deal. That was the beginning of all this insanity. And, my small business was struggling. But in the meantime, while I'm slow in my business, I've got time to surf the web. So I'm just digging, I just knew I had to learn this stuff. And I'm talking, this is all just conspiracy stuff at this point. I hadn't really gotten into the apostasy side of it. There was a process, you know. And I'm talking, this is, you know, the early part of 2009. And so somewhere along the road there, I'm thinking it's like the end of February, March. It was one night, okay, and I had to take my little girl to her friend's house for the evening. It was a Friday night. And I'm driving, I dropped her off, and, you know, on the way home. I'm just digesting. Because I'm, you know, I'm sitting here, I've got Alex Jones on the computer in my shop, and I'm reading, and I'm getting, you know, just studying, and just going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know, and putting, the stuff starting to click. And then, you know, the Federal Reserve, I'm learning all about that. I realize the Federal Reserve is a completely corrupt, you know, non-government institution, and all this stuff. And I drive home for my little girls, and I got hit like a ton of bricks between my eyes. The Lord just nailed me that night. And it was at that point, I just, everything I'd known clicked. Everything I'd learned in my Christian journey, it all clicked, and I knew that this was the beast. It just hadn't dawned on me until then. This is the beast, Chris. I heard the Lord clearly say it, and everything changed that night. You know, I came in the house in tears, sat my wife down, and just showed her all kinds of stuff. You know, freaked her out totally. Showed her the FEMA coffins and all that. You know, all that good stuff. That was just from that point on, she basically wrote me off. You know, she just thought I was a lunatic that I'd gone off the deep end, you know. And
Chris, that was all the fleshly material you did in your due diligences. You knew all these fleshly movements. You hadn't entered into the spiritual. You're presenting your wife, this is what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that sure is what I did, yeah. But then at the same time, then this is what's going on here. Then that was when I really had a real awakening, and you know, spiritually, and it became very clear at that point I needed to really buckle down with my role as the spiritual leader of my house. And so the first thing that came to mind was Harry Potter. My family, I'm the one that brought it into the house. I listened to Chuck Colson on Moody Radio tell me, you know, one day years ago that it's fine. There's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. So I brought this stuff into the house and got my whole family hooked on it, you know, and they still are to this day. I just curse the day I did that. No, I take that back. A couple of my kids are getting the message. A couple of my kids are staying away from it, and I praise the Lord for that. But this was the thing. This was the spark that really started the separation for me, and I went to leadership of the church to get some help. And the pastor reads it to his kids, you know. So I had no support there. They said, oh, it's fine. And I knew that this stuff had no place in my house. And it just became a real source of conflict with my wife and myself. And, you know, and through the summer and just learning and growing. And then I used to wear my painter's pants to church. And I remember I just load the lower pockets up with DVDs and hand them out. I had a burden for the leadership at church. I'm walking around all the time handing out DVDs of, you know, whatever I can get a hold of that week, you know. And through that course of that summer was when, you know, I was just, you know, as far as the church goes, just digging myself in. And I remember handing a flyer to somebody who wasn't a leader. It was somebody in the church, and it basically got into the wrong hands. And it was just a study on the Noahide laws. And, you know, that person went to the leadership and said, what's this? Is this what we're teaching? And they, you know, took offense at it. And known that I'd gone off the deep end, you know, I'd been talking about the New World Order and about the Masons and all this stuff. And it was in September then when I got a message on the machine. And they said, yeah, we know you and Beth are having some trouble. Why don't you come on in? We want to do some loving on you. This is the message that I had. And so we made an appointment, went in to church. Went into the upstairs, into the back room of the new church. Was a big, you know, brand new addition. The whole deal, expansion project was just finished. And I go into the back room, and they're all there, all the elders, both pastors, and I just see that event, as just an entrapment. You know, we see the parallels with the Judas cycle. And I was just so clearly trapped. You know, whoever made the decision to bring my wife into that thing. But they, you know, they sat me down and basically assassinated me in front of my wife, you know. And ended up...
Wolves, buddy.
They are.
This sounds like the spirit that Jesus was dealing with 2,000 years ago.
Well, it was. You know, that's the thing. It was I have a direct, you know, correlation between what I went through and the Judas cycle.
You were part of the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Seduced him.
You know, I was going to, you know, affect that bottom line and, you know, threaten that mortgage payment for one. And, you know, the head elder, who was a very good friend of the family, the wife of the head elder is my wife's best friend. He looked me in the eye, and he just, with this look that no one will ever know, I saw this look. This guy's a scorpion, I know it. It's one guy that I've identified, and he just looked at me and said, "You're not to talk about end times on church property again." And, you know.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing. I can't find church property anywhere in the Bible.
Well, you know what I mean. But anyway,
I know exactly what you're saying. This is the arrogance of these people.
Yeah.
It's my church, our property.
Yeah. Well, because the church is the thing. The church is the thing they're protecting.
Well, did you ever hear Paul, or did you ever hear Peter, or did you ever hear James use the term our church?
No. Because there was no church.
Right.
It was the congregation. The word church is a very problematic word.
There is a church, but it is Jesus Christ's church.
Yeah, right.
I hear this term, our church, all the time.
Yeah.
And now it's our church property. I mean, that, to me, I don't know, set me on edge when you said our church property.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I don't blame you, Bill, because it is, you know...
Everything's our, me, my.
Yeah.
Chris, I don't mean to interrupt, but here's who you're dealing with. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boisterers, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to the parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good."
Oh, gosh.
"Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Is that who you were dealing with?
Yeah, it sure was, Bob.
That said in the end days, too, didn't it, Bob, in verse 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got a picture of who, you know, I'm not one to... Well, I'm not naming names, but I saw the true character of this guy afterwards. You know, just with I remember one night he was over at the house, and he and the father-in-law were yucking it up. They were both elders at the church, you know, involved with the finances and the money, you know, and that's what the whole conversation about Christianity was to them, was how they're dealing with this and that, on what spreadsheet. And, you know, just strategizing and blah, blah, blah. This is what church was to them, you know. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, there's just something very wrong with this picture. You know, but they, you know, the result of that meeting was they're going to send us to counseling. So they sent us, they agreed to, you know, they're going to send us to counseling. And they made it real clear it was about me. It wasn't about our marriage.
May I ask what you mean by counseling?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about it. We went to, a Christian counselor.
Okay.
A Christian witch doctor.
Right, but it was that's what I'm wondering to mean. If they sent you to a psych place, that's what
Sent us to a Christian counseling center, you know, a family counseling center. Which, right. which is what the church has to have these. You know, this is all part of the outsourcing the contractors, you know, to keep the hive going, because we said before, right. You know, if the church had the truth, it would crumble. But, you know, the whole system, you know, we've got the counselors that we refer people to, you know, to keep the whole, those making lives their refuge, you know, it keeps the whole machine moving, you know. But they sent us to counseling, and that was where, you know, my wife's anger was just this, you know, she was just foaming at the mouth. And, you know, I'm just sitting there talking about apostasy and the apostasy that I see. And, you know, the guy didn't get it. And still, this is like okay, 9 months now, and I'm so boneheaded that I'm still not getting the fact that these people aren't getting it, you know. I'm still thinking I'm going to convince somebody of something, you know. So anyway, you know, we do the counseling, and then...
They're adders.
What's that?
They're adders.
Yeah.
That's a snake with stop that can't hear. You know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Stopped up ears. That's right. What it is. They're just... They can't hear.
So we do the counseling thing, and I'm still getting caught in conversations talking about Jesus' second coming. And they somewhere along the line here was where my wife, it was a morning, I'm just trying with everything I got to you know, get my marriage back on track. And honestly, by this time, I had actually calmed down from the you know, initial excitement that, you know, the world's controlled by, you know, pure evil. And, you know, this stuff was, you know, a shock, you know, how you get so angry. And I was just calming down, and I was coming to the point where I was, you know, reconciling things, and I knew that I had to, you know, take care of my family, and I always had, and there was no time I didn't. There was a 6 weeks period of time I probably spent too much time on the internet, you know, and a time that my wife would walk in on me and see me just surfing the web, going, "Aren't you going to get any work done?" You know, whatever. It's just all part of it. But I woke up one Saturday morning, just raring to go, you know, getting the house ready for winter. And she sat me down, and she said, "I want to get separated. I can't stand it here, and just the spiritual conflict that was happening between us was just so that was it. We were separated, and then I got the call that we want to have another meeting off campus. So we met up at the local deli.
Off campus
of the church, yeah, and that's where they came back again and said, well, "It's, you know, we've been we've caught you in conversations about end times."
The Christian Pharisees,
and they had this whole document, you know, written up and signed by all the elders. You know, you got to remember, these are all my friends; these guys are all my buddies. You know, and they said, "You're not to set foot on church property again. You know, your membership has been revoked." You know, I was a member of this church for 20 years. You know, like there were three different churches involved with the, you know, the network of Quakers here that, you know, they just jumped on this seeker friendly stuff, hot and heavy. You know, they were just little mini Saddleback Rick Warren churches is what they were. You know, they had arrived. They got the coffee shop with the, you know, with the choice of flavors and of the latte machine and all that.
Well, I mean, I'll say there's a lot of choice of flavors besides ice cream. Yeah. Flavorful doctrines. And
snake pits. Dennis.
Can I ask you a question there, Chris?
Yeah.
When this off-campus meeting, was this just all elders, basically, and yeah. Controllers?
Yeah, the elders, so the elders and one of the pastors, yeah.
So there was no multitude there from your church?
No.
This is how they treated Jesus in the trial, the same way?
Yeah, it was.
They do this off secretly, so in the spiritual darkness.
Off property.
Wow, that's really something, Bill. Yeah, you're right.
Was it dark out?
No, it was during the day. But,
no, but it's spiritual darkness.
It was dark, yeah.
Spiritual darkness.
Well, I never really thought about that. Yeah, but the patterns are identical. The betrayal, you know. But this Judas thing, you know, Steve Knox sent something this weekend about the Judas factor. It's not the fact of Judas. It's the betrayal. You know, the betrayal. It's got to happen. You know, we've got to be betrayed. And it's just all part of this, you know. The suffering that we're doing, you know, to perfect. This is all perfecting our salvation. And I'm good with all this stuff now. I'm telling everybody this story. But, you know, I've reconciled all this. I knew it had to happen, you know. Now I look back on it. And, you know, this is the separation. But, you know, and I'm talking, you know, I get kicked out of my church. And, like, in this period of time, we went from separation to divorce. She said, "I want a divorce. I don't want to be married to you anymore." And, you know, it still wasn't hit. I'm numb, you know. I'm walking around numb, you know. But anyway, and I go... move in with a friend. I move out of the house to make it as easy as I could on the kids. And it was, you know, just thinking she's going to calm down. And, you know, and all the time, too. And I can't, you know, I'm no gem here. You know, I certainly had made a mess out of things. You know, I put her through a lot of stress with my being self-employed. And certainly added to this. You know, so there's no, I'm certainly not saying that I was anything, you know, I was caught up in the treadmill, too. You know, I was out there trying to, and it just, So here I am, and I'm staying with a friend of mine, and all this. You want to know the other thing that happened through right through all this time, okay, is that, you know, we say the scripture about the hail will sweep away the lies. Well, this is what's happening to me right now. This persecution coming from these serpents and scorpions, the hail, is sweeping away my lies, because what's happening at the same time? I'm meeting my brothers, Armor Bearer and Willie Bob, on Watchmen Cry, and we're all hooking up together on this forum. At the same time, all this is happening. This is all happening at the same time. So at the same time, I'm under all this persecution. Yeah, I'm waking up. Thanks to you guys, my buddies here. Bob, Bill, I wouldn't know what to do without you. But this is literally the hail sweeping away the lies, because all this time I'm waking up to the truth. And it all happened through this same period of time. I found a third day. I found a threshing floor. I found you two guys. And, here we are today. But, this was all part of my waking up process. And, so it's the only thing that got me through this was God's revelation coming at me so fast. And it got me through this awful time where I'm, going through my first Christmas away from the house and, driving past the house. And they're all inside in their snuggly pajamas with the stockings hanging on the wall. And, I'm driving over to my buddy's house. And, it was just brutal. But at the same time, I'm going home and listening to my MP3 player and listening to Sue and Randy's teachings and just absorbing this stuff like a sponge, But anyway, this is running its course then. This is basically, where I'm at, and running the people from the church at the store or something. And they look at me like I've got two heads. And all this time, too, they think that I walked away from my family, just all twisted lies. The pastor said that I walked away from my family. And it's just a lying serpent. And I publicly addressed it that, I did not walk away from my family. And just begged my wife to not divorce me. But I just, there's just nothing. I always hoped that, she would have relented in this thing. But anyway, we're coming up to January of 2010. And I remember I checked my email. It was exactly a year to the day that my friend had sent me that Endgame video that started my waking up process. I listened to the third day synopsis show, The Call to Arms. And that's the call. That's where Sue, clearly taught on 144,000. And that was the day that the Lord told me what the heck was going on here. And I knew that after that day that, I was part of his elect, and it just all clicked. And I just had a peace that, I'll never forget. I just laid there on my bed listening to this MP3, just going, oh, my gosh. Everything changed. And then from then on, I've just been hungry. And around that same time, I start to get to know Randy a little bit, and we dialogue a little bit, and told him my desire to maybe, end up doing our own shows. And Randy was at the point where that was a vision of his to get us, to get some people to come in and, step up to the plate with the threshing floor. When do we start our first show, you guys? May or June? June, was it?
Yeah, I would guess around June, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all through this process here. We're all talking. I just was put into shame by my friends, Armor Bearer and Willie Bob, getting kicked off the Watchman Cry forum. They left me to fend for myself there. I thought that was I don't know what they were thinking, being offensive on there, talking about Israel and about the church being leavened. But anyway, that's what happened there. But it's ironic that we met, on the Watchman Cry forum. But the all this time, our relationships are building. Bill and Bob and myself, we started talking about doing a show, and it just one we just kept plugging along, learning, teaching each other, with everybody, with the Threshing Floor blog, and the next thing Randy got us set up with the recording equipment, and we did our shows, and here we are today. And here I am today, And, you know, my divorce went through, and I'm just, you know, brokenhearted about it. But I'm also okay with it because, you know, I just, the harvest went right through the middle of my house, and I get, you know, crazy about it at times, and then I just have to look at Scripture, and it's all there. You know, Matthew 24 says, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household, you know, and you'll be hated for my sake, and all this stuff that I've been reading all these years, and now I'm living it, you know. But it's worth it because I know the deal. You know, I know the Lord has revealed this secret to me, and, you know, he's trusted me enough to share his secret with me, and I'm just honored by that, and I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, this life in the wilderness is just the place to be, and it's where I'm pretty much planning on staying. And I just want to thank you guys for your support. I know my good friends here on, you know, with the show, and I'm just thrilled about what's ahead. You know, I have no idea where we're heading, what we're going to see as we see this stuff manifest. But you know, we know we're in the truth, and you know, I'm going to do everything I can to stay there every waking hour of my life, you know, for the duration here. Thanks. Thanks for letting me share my testimony.
Absolutely. Greater in he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, and what was the one little problem there, you know, towards the end of your testimony? There was one real big problem, and that was the fact that you had the truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you didn't have the truth, there wouldn't be any problems.
No.
Yeah. That's why Jesus says, they don't hate you, they hate me.
Yeah.
And then he says, they hated my Father before me. That's what they hate, is the truth.
Yeah.
And I just like to interject, Chris, I personally, you know how I feel as far as feeling bad with your situation and the divorce. But your story is telling for our audience.
Yes, it is. Amen.
In terms of a witness audience, if this is typical, you know, when sometimes we have a platform where it's, well, we're looking at the Pope, but we're looking at the corner church now. It's no different. In our first shows, we really are diligent in finding out that these church movements, in their own ways, are apostate. And we've reconciled through all of our studies. This is the strong delusion. The great falling away, and it's been going on for some time, and we have to understand from Chris's story, Chris knew his gospel, and they couldn't screw that up. They couldn't undo what Chris knew in his heart. Chris, you knew your Bible, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. You know, the Lord had planted it into my heart. I was driving around with John MacArthur tapes from the first time I got saved and all through the years. And I got to say one thing, too. Like, right when I first got back with the Lord, I had an opportunity to go to a church. They had a study. It was like a 9-week or 13-week course on Abraham's seed and on the covenant of promise. And let me tell you what, I learned this stuff back then. I learned all about the remnant. I learned about Abraham's seed and Abraham's seed by faith and the difference.
And when was this?
This was in like 1990. I'm telling you.
Okay.
The Lord put me through that, and I'm telling you, it was huge. And then since then, I found this lady that taught this course. I found her, and I told her. I told her the truth, and she said, you're crazy, you know. Talking about Israel being the beast, and she didn't want to, you know, this is a church, you know, Zionist church, the church went bad, you know. Everything goes bad. John MacArthur went bad. My church went bad. Everything went bad. It was good. It was in the seven, but they weren't satisfied with seven. They wanted wanted more. They wanted to keep building, so they went into the eighth. They went into perdition.
That's your two factions of evil, six and eight.
Six and eight.
There's always two. And
why can't we be content, you know, just to be content? I'm content.
Well, right. There's not much money in contentness.
Yeah.
There's not much human praise in contentness.
No.
And they have some kind of this deep desire inside to go and help God somehow, to lift these great big heavy rocks. And instead of just having faith that we'll move mountains.
But it's in all my experience with these apostate leaders, and you got to realize this too, folks. And the Lord, I know, gave me a mission because I had a real burden for leadership, and I have a lot of friends that are pastors and in the whole church system. And I've shared a few times, I think, already. A couple months ago, I just went through and deleted them all out of my address book on my email. Because there's a spirit there that just is the arrogance. But I'm telling you what, and I over the weekend, my best buddy, just got out of seminary, and at the same time I'm waking up, over the last couple of years, and I just had to lay it out to him. I gave him both barrels over the weekend, and I said, I gave him my whole spiel. I gave him the truth. I gave him the truth, and it stopped him in his tracks. But it's always the same argument, and it's always the same. You're a small group that sees things your way, and how could you be right when there's the big group over here that sees it the way we do? It's always they always bring that out that we can't be right because we're not the majority.
Right. If you study history, the majority is always wrong in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you want to go bet on the Super Bowl, just what everybody else bets on, that the point spread's going to be off on the other side, just go bet the other side. That's just a rule of thumb that I used to use in sports betting. The public is always wrong about everything. And they don't get anything right.
Oh, gosh.
That's just like if a person wasn't sure, just watch what everybody else is doing and then do the opposite. Yeah, they have this fixation in their mind because that goes back into Genesis 11. Let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered. They're absolutely scared to death to be scattered into the wilderness.
That's right. That's exactly it. There's no salvation in a group. These friends are not going to get you to heaven, folks. It's mano a mano, huh, Bob?
Yes, it's mano a mano. It's your house in order. You are the temple of the Lord, Chris. The Lord blessed you mightily.
That parable of the merchant man seeking the goodly pearls is such a classic, it describes it right there. That's Jesus going looking after his lost sheep. And when he finds one pearl of great value, that's what it is, one at a time. Christ in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me ask you, when you've known your gospel.
Yeah.
But under the teachings that they were giving you in the church, you ran contrary to the church teaching. And then when you heard the third day studies and started on the notes, is that when you understood?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I started piecing things together.
Lively stone?
Yeah.
Serpents and scorpions?
Yeah,
fires and thistles?
Yeah, I think I got into the, the synopsis series right off the bat. And, yeah, I just absorbed it. Like, I knew it was right. I knew this was the truth. I just kept listening to it over and over and over again. And I got it. I just got it because I knew this was right. And I'd gone everywhere on the internet, and Lord, piecing things together for me. But it was always, the Merovingian bloodline and all this stuff. You came to find out it's just all error. It's all the spirit of error because it's all flesh and all of these people looking for the flesh. But I always knew there was something here. There's something to this. And, yes, this is all part of God's purpose that this deception is there. The Masonic temple and, I knew that the Masons, I learned that the Masonic temple was the Masons' obsession, and I went, oh, my gosh, but I realized it's just all deception for God's purpose. And then I found out who the true temple was, like you said, Bob. It's the It's the lively stones. Ye are the temple. And you know, that's probably I bet you that was probably the first real truth that I got a hold of, that we are the temple. And I knew that. You know it. You know this stuff, but you don't put it together. And you don't realize, mm-hmm. well, if that's true, then that can't be true. And you go, oh, yeah, okay. And then you realize, oh, my gosh, there's no where's the temple in the Scripture? Where's the physical temple? And it's just, wow.
Well, the physical temple is Satan sitting in it right now.
And see, that was something that always bugged me, because I've been watching End Times. You know, don't forget, 82, what was happening then? Late Great Planet Earth. So I'm going to a rapture cult church, you know, getting fed. This guy, you know, this place, people were coming to Christ at this church, the Gospel House. But at the time, I don't think it was as big a deal as it is now, because it didn't. I mean, but it was all the deception happening. But you know, I knew that. We used to come home from there thinking we weren't going to make it home before the rapture happened. You know, that's how this guy would fire you all up. But
they had you in fear.
Yeah.
And not the fear of God.
That's why you get into the rapture, because of the fear of the flesh to start with.
Bill, let me recount for the audience. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Audience, this is Mr. Ardern. And this is Mr. Johnson. They rightly divide the word. They study themselves approved. And they give it to you, audience, in terms of they and myself. We pray that we're not deceived. Just from July to now, the transformation and the shift, so to speak.
Oh, man.
The physical manifestations of Scripture, where we're talking in code. We're talking about, this is a pretty significant event, but, you know, Leviathan just happened. And this is after the Gulf of Mexico. And now you have the worst possible manifestations of Europe being totally encompassed in the worst winter ever. Written records. So when we try and be the diligent watchman on the wall, we try to not be sleeping dumb dogs that are not rightly dividing the word, and we're trying to convey to you, audience, that it is time to have your house in order. And woe unto us if we're preaching anything that wasn't preached through the gospel. And the love of the truth will give this to you. It is the word of truth. And you will not be able to discern any of these metaphors in a diminished, copyrighted Bible. You have to understand that. Mr. Ardern is telling you exactly what happened. Brother Bill?
Yeah, amen. Since you mentioned Bible, I'll interject for a moment or two on that.
A beautiful segue for that.
Yeah, the Alexandrian text, whenever it's been used, that was the text, the prime text that was used to, that came out of Egypt, that was used to write the Jerome's Vulgate and the Catholic Bible. And there's always been oppression and caste system throughout the world. With obviously the Quran, there's a caste system. The Hindu religion's a caste system. The whole Catholics is a caste system. The only time that there has been some prosperity in the world has been through the Textus Receptus, the received text from Antioch. And now, as we're seeing the prosperity in America come to an end, we're seeing prosperity in Western civilization come to an end. And it doesn't surprise me, because the Bibles are all moving back towards the Alexandrian text. It's been mingled in. It started being mingled in 1880. And whenever that text is being used, throughout the history, the last 2,000 years, people have lived under great oppression and great poverty. And, you know, it comes from Egypt. Like I was speaking with the brothers this evening before the pre-show, you know, whatever good came out of Egypt, you know, they always went down to Egypt.
Yeah.
And that's where we're headed back is this Alexandrian text. And that is, you know, society is an example. You just look at society and, you know, the what manufacturing that we had, what prosperity that we had maybe in other areas. What's the right word here? Some form of respect for human dignity or whatever. It's all going away, and it's because we're going back into the Alexandrian text.
This makes you know this this thing they have at the History Museum. They have it right here in Cleveland, where they have bodies on display. I mean, if that's not a blatant example of human dignity. Gone. I mean,
yep.
This thing is just over the top. You know, we talk about, you know, when they call good evil and evil good. I had a little revelation this week about that. Just a little thing the Lord brought to my mind. But I'm so on this Joel's Army and this Christian right. I mean, I'm telling you, I definitely heard over this holiday season. I really definitely heard from the Lord to just make this my. You know, my focus for the duration here. I'll certainly be able to get into, you know, other issues. But, I mean, folks, you know that the Monster Part 1 show, you know, it's been a couple months now. I can't finish. I mean, I haven't been able to start the second one because I just haven't been released yet because the Lord just keeps bringing more and more together with this thing. And I just realize how incredibly over the top this Christian right dominionist movement is. And some of the things that we're seeing.
It's like swine running off a cliff.
Oh, gosh. But the fact that, you know, we just realized over the last month or so, you know, Pete from, you know, Truth in Scripture, and then that Mike Hoggard, that guy that's in Midwest somewhere, put out that video, same thing, saying the same thing. You know, there's Joel's army. This is the Scorpion army. This is God's army, but it's not the good army. This is the army of judgment from the north. That's who this Joel's army is. And absolutely. Here these people are so, you know, illiterate scripturally that they have no idea what they've gotten involved with. And if this isn't the blatant example of calling good evil and evil good, I don't know what is. I mean, that's what this is. And you know, so I'm going to really... and I'm looking forward to tonight. You know, we'll do this study now. I hope if you guys are done... Well, or if, you know, if you have anything more, but you know, with this pale horse, and we looked at the, you know, the Tavistock Institute last week, and this week we were going to take a look at Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham came out of the same time period, and we see Billy Graham really as the transition of the church from. You know, into the warehouse mentality, into the merchandising mentality, when they started herding these sheep through the stalls at these big meetings, you know. And, hey, I'll have no doubt that Billy Graham started off with all pure intentions, but a fella came along and took notice of Billy Graham when he was having tent meetings in Los Angeles. In the 40s, and this man, his name was William Randolph Hearst, and this guy's a, you know, Randolph Hearst is a Knights of Malta. Today, you know, the Hearst Foundation owns the History Channel along with Disney and ABC.
So Hearst was the snare that God set for Billy Graham then.
Yeah, see? Yes, he was.
Hearst was taken to the Roman Colosseums and slayed.
Yeah. And so starting off, you know, Billy Graham probably, you know, thought, oh, this is great. Oh, because what happened was, you know, the word came down the pike to Puff Graham. That's the, you know, this is the term they use.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it last week.
When or the Bible. Puff. It's actually, it's what it is an assault on the Scripture, too. You know, because, you know, Paul talks about not to be puffed up. And
yeah. Yeah, well, sure. And what is, yeah, what, I'm sure that... You know, somebody, you know, in Hollywood said, Puff Madonna. or Puff Lady Gaga or Elvis or whatever. I mean, this is what they do. You know, they just start shoveling money at these people and the agenda that they
use.
That's
what happens. They get puffed up.
Yeah, and they get puffed up. Well, they puffed Billy Graham.
Hearst was involved 10 years earlier, 12 years earlier, in that whole Reefer Madness thing.
Reefer Madness. Oh, my gosh, that's right.
He was a large player in that.
What was that all about?
Well, similar to Prohibition.
I have an answer for that, Bill.
Go ahead.
William Randolph Hearst owned all the newspapers, and he had purchased most, and I believe it was the state of Washington, the Timberlands, to supply himself. Mm-hmm. Double dip.
Oh, yeah.
And when they found that hemp actually was the better substrate, we're making anything paper. We're making any product, actually.
Right, lasts a long time.
Yep, so he took that away from everyone.
Well, that makes sense.
They demonized the material that would perform better than plastics.
That makes sense. Then cornered the market, you know, or whatever, because it's a threat to his wood industry.
You know, how rich is he, and what happened to him, you know, all corrupted of the flesh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what they took away from the people of the world, is they demonized a material that is, you can make anything out of. Because he had invested so much money in the woods to destroy the woods, to chop down the trees, to control people's mind.
Yeah, this is the way the world works.
And I've got a...
Then he had a daughter that got in that big... Didn't she? Wasn't she all in that Charles Manson?
Sure, she was in that... The PLO and the... The Symbionese Liberation Army. Yeah, I remember all that stuff. Who knows what that was about?
All deception. He's just one large deception capitalistic corporation. He's a corp.
Now he's a real corpse, isn't he?
Dead on the inside.
You're here such a short time. Was it worth all of it, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something, guys? You know, every day that goes by, you realize that how short this, our life is but a vapor. But you know, I've got a statement here from this one article that I got some information from. It said, Billy Graham understood that a successful mass ministry would require professional salesmanship, and he carefully cultivated contacts in the major media with an eye to marketing.
That's what Jesus would do.
Yeah, just what Jesus would do, with an eye to marketing his product. He does not, however, have an understanding of the faith in Jesus Christ. You know, this is what happened, and you know, William Randolph Hearst, and there's another guy, Luke? I'm not sure how to say his name. You know, they're part of the empire. You know, Time Magazine, they're all part of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then another guy that was involved in his early funding, David Rockefeller, Knights of Malta. I mean,
right. Well, David Rockefeller's in everything.
There's nothing good going to come out of this, folks. I'm telling you.
No, nothing good could come out of that cake mix.
You know, I'm glad that we, again, every show that's revealed in doing your due diligence, we get another piece of the B system. But our message, audience, our message is in Jesus Christ. Our message is in doing His will.
Amen.
And you are standing. Believe me, you are standing alone in the truth in this world. And we are trying to convey to you the biblical, proper rendering of the Scripture. Even though we have a fleshly objective, open your eyes on one level for people that are not in the truth, and the resources are there. On another level, we're preaching the gospel. We're preaching the gospel of repentance. Repentance of your sins, and to look at these things through the eyes of your Lord Jesus Christ, who went through exactly what we're going through, what Mr. Ardern went through in his church. He was cast out of the church, cast out of the synagogues of Satan, into the truth, where he stands and he abides, a lively stone in our Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel. Sometimes we don't make it clear, It is this gospel we preach, the gospel of repentance, gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bill?
Yes, it's this gospel, and there's only one. It's the gospel that Paul preached. It's the gospel that Peter preached. It's the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's standing fast in the gospel and standing fast in the truth and then living the gospel, you know.
Yeah. It's truly taking up your cross.
Truly taking up your cross, right.
And Jesus came to the sinner's audience. He didn't come to the... He told the Pharisees what they were doing. But he came to the sinners.
He came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't come to save all of Israel. Because all of Israel doesn't get saved. But
right.
The remnant is saved. And that's who we're, you know, calling you out. You know, that's what happened to me. You know, all this stuff was done for me. You know, I love this church. I'm telling you guys, this was my place, you know. And right now, I'm saying, you know, I've had a year, you know, a tough year in the wilderness here, lonely and all that stuff. But it's okay, you know. As I say, I got some old friends from school reaching out to me on Facebook, and it's just been kind of neat. You know, the Lord's kind of just pulling me out of that slump, you know, in one respect. Even though I've been just fed, and it's got me through all this, you know, this insanity. But the Lord just took care of doing what I wasn't going to do for myself. I wasn't going to leave. You know, I tell you to get out of church. Hey, I was put out. You know, I was put out of the synagogue. But then I realized, you know, the Lord was just doing for me what I wasn't about to do for myself. You know, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm out. I've come out of her. You know, I was kicked out, but I'm out. And the Lord's got me where He wants me now. And I'm not budging. You know, I'm locked into His yoke right now. And I'm on this, you know, since that experience, I'll tell you, since that night I stood up and, you know, confessed in front of my brothers my sins, and I really got washed that night, and I've been on a narrow path since. I have not strayed from the narrow path since then, and I don't plan to. I mean, I'm not going to be arrogant, but I'm, you know, I believeth that who I believeth is able to save me, you know, whatever scripture I'm paraphrasing there, but you know, I know the Lord will keep me if I, you know, abide in Him, and planning on doing that, you know. But I'm going to pick up here again with this study, because this is something that helped me with tying some things together with this monster, dominionist thing. And I've really got some clarity on it. I want to try to share it with you guys tonight. But, okay, what this deal with Randolph Hearst and Billy Graham, and what they're doing here, see, is they're mounting up an attack against communism, really. You know, communists were rampant in Los Angeles, and Hearst and Luke interviewed the obscure preacher and decided that, you know, he was the guy that would help rally the Christian right. Essentially, this is the start of the Christian right as we know it today. You know, theoretically against communism, you know, the created enemy of communism, right, Bill?
Yeah, the created enemy of communism, right. What year kind of are you looking at there?
Well, 47, 48.
47, okay. I mean, as far back as then. Okay, I didn't know if that was maybe in the 50s they were going that direction.
And let me tell you what. See, this is the deal. It's the same spirit. It's the same black horse spirit that was driving the Nazis, because that was what they were against. And ultimately,
right.
See, this is where this is all going to end up. We're talking 47, 48, and we've been through it a million times. But as we're seeing this merchandising expand, and I'm saying there's such a connection between the merchandising we see with the church here, and also what we see with the I mean, just this a simple allegory of the excuse me, I had to hit my mic there. The darn thing, see, it just shut off on us. Thanks, you guys. I think about the Sam's Clubs and the warehouse clubs and all that good stuff. You know, it's happened at the same time. It's like the churches are warehouses for souls. Literally, aren't they? Don't you see that?
Yeah,
it's just craziness.
Community centers.
Yeah, they're community centers. But
Lord,
this whole process.
He likened it to white sepulchres.
Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones.
But now, audience, we go through these stories and a little history on this, but what you find is the mingling, these horse movements that are color-coded, the truth in the scripture relates to a mixing of all of these movements, and they have now moved into the realm of all the inhabitants of the earth. They couldn't do this in 1947, 1948. This is the culmination of a mingling cup. Do you agree, Brother Bill?
Yes. Yeah, they finally could put it all together, but it still had to grow from that. You know, it's been growing for the last 60 years.
In your generation, audience, this is the truth. This is what makes this generation different. They couldn't put a tag on this generation. Now, I would guess statistically of how many people are in the truth, it's very, very low. But if we recount the multitude, Bill, when the multitude awakens, what is it likened unto?
Well, it could be Pentecost. I think it's one of the best examples. Pentecost, I think, is going to be a mini version, a micro version of what happens in the end. You know, when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And obviously 3,000 souls were saved that day. And they became all of one accord.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a pure language.
A pure language, right. And,
yeah, we're seeing the parallels. Course, I mean, that's the whole timeline. What happened?
Yeah, right. It was the overlapping period during that 40-year overlapping period from 30 AD to 70 AD, and that sometimes that confuses the timeline. The timeline is not exactly at the cross, really, because everything in Scripture, there's always little overlapping periods. And it's going to be, I feel, a repeat of Pentecost, and then you know, you think back obviously to Matthew chapter 14. 14 about the great multitude that he fed there, and 5,000 families.
An audience, we encourage you, please do the third day studies. Take time to study yourself approved. Pray to our Lord Jesus Christ that these truths be revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.